Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Last week, this is going to be basically full game breakdowns, as many full game breakdowns as I can find, of people that made the All-Star team. So, and that was the people that didn't make the All-Star game. Some people were hurt the All-Star game, so they did get replaced by other players. I did scout those players, so instead of it being the normal 24 guys that are in the All-Star game that, you know, scouted, it was 27. I'd say 4 or 5 I had to watch highlights of. Everybody else was able to see, so it's really interesting stuff. I have all their stats and some breakdowns of from the what they looked like pre-NBA. Really interesting stuff here, so I'm excited to talk about it. I was excited watching it. It definitely was very interesting, so. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick this off. We're going to go ahead and start off with the center position. So, first guy up is Nikola Jokic. So, I was only able to find highlight clips, but there's a pretty long clip of him, you know, a compilation of multiple highlights, which is really interesting. So, in the ABA league before coming to the NBA, he averaged 15.4 points per game, 9.3 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 50% field goal percentage, 34.6% three-point percentage, and 0.9 blocks a game. So, you know, the first thing you recognize about Nikola is just insane skill. I mean, he's coming off ball screens. He's, you know, finishing at the rim with layups. He's finishing, you know, putting the ball on the floor and handling to the rim, and extremely tough fadeaways, great skill in the other rim at the post, just like unbelievable skill for the center position. Obviously, Nikola Jokic, Mr. Triple-Double himself, is going to have great passing. He was a very good passer in the ABA. You can definitely see a lot of flashes and some seriously good passing. He could definitely shoot the three ball. You know, his awkward shooting form makes it really tough for him to be blocked. He's really good in the pick and roll and staying in passing lanes with the center. You definitely, I mean, with the guard that's running the pick and roll, he really stays in those passing lanes and really puts pressure on the center that's guarding the pick and roll and the guard that's guarding the pick and roll by being in always in a place that threatens them by either, you know, a lob or try to finish at the rim or, you know, pick and pop situation with the way he's playing at the pick and roll. He's very intelligent. You know, but he's also not an NBA athlete. Like, it's very it's slow. It's, you know, not very vertically gifted. He luckily has the body size to play the center position, being 6'11", 7 foot. But yeah, I mean, he definitely did not look like an NBA athlete at all. And that's why he was a second round draft pick. But he's a great lesson, though. He's a great lesson. So is Jaime Jaquez and Luka Doncic. Slow and skilled. Slow and skilled definitely takes an advanced eye. You know, smooth and skilled is its own thing, but slow and skilled where, yeah, this guy is not an NBA athlete, above average NBA athlete, you know, barely maybe an average athlete or below average or really poor, but, you know, Sengun's in the same class. You know, those kind of guys that are ultra skilled take a advanced eye to scout. It's really easy to miss on those kind of guys, you know, because what skill translates? Right? You know, that's a great question. And it's tough. It's got to be great tough shots. It's got to be great footwork. It's got to be, you know, usually guys with height. A good thing about having extremely high skill just he's going to be taller than most people who play or very similar height wise. So he'll always have the height advantage, right? And it's just, he's definitely a unique one of one guy that was so skilled coming out of Serbia. He's definitely the most skilled, that 20-minute highlight tape I saw of him, definitely the most skilled center I've ever seen. Some of the stuff he was doing in Serbia was just insane, especially in like a professional league. It's really impressive. Really impressive. It's a really tough scout because a lot of things about NBA players is they got to be NBA athletes to be in the NBA. But, you know, maybe not. Maybe they, when they have height, they might not need to be an NBA athlete, athletically speaking, when they're just so supernova level skill like Jokic is. So offense is always more important than defense, and Jokic is just such a phenomenal skill talent. I would have been really interested to see like what I would have thought of him coming out, but yeah, he's the most skilled guy I've ever seen. Really interesting. It was really fun to watch, and it's tough. It's a really tough scout. It makes sense why he was drafted in the second round so late. I'm sure, I mean, if Denver knew Jokic was going to be Jokic, he would have been the first round draft pick too, right? You know, so it's, nobody really saw this coming, but it's a really, really unique section of non-NBA athletes, what skill allows them to be all-stars, you know, or borderline all-stars, 20 points per game scores. What are the skills and levels, skills that allows them to carve out their own lane, even though they're not NBA athletes? And it's a really interesting talking point. And Nikola Jokic is a 101 there, but a huge lesson and a huge, you know, eye-opener of skill could definitely overcome. Definitely non-NBA athlete. Nikola Jokic did not look like an NBA athlete. Just to be very frank about here. But, you know, skill overcomes when you have height, and that's the lesson with Jokic. Alrighty. Let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy, which is Carl Anthony Towns. Was able to watch a full game of him. I mean, he played in like a 38-39-0 team until they got beat by Frank Kaminsky in the March Madness, so plenty of games to watch of him. Averaged 10.3 points per game, 6.7 rebounds, 1.1 assists, 56% field goal percentage, 25% three-point percentage, 2.3 blocks a game. You know, this guy had really great size. I mean, he was really strong, good body frame, good athlete, very good post player, above average defender. I don't think anybody would have watched him and said, oh, that's the next Dikembe Mutombo. Which makes you kind of confused why everybody was hating on him for not being like a great defender, because you watch him in Kentucky, it's like, yeah, above average is kind of what you thought would have happened. I don't know what everybody expected him to be there. You know, he looked natural with the handle, but you just didn't see it very often. Not much as three-point shooting as you would have thought. I mean, 25% three-point shooting for one of the greatest three-point shooting bigs of all time is very surprising. But he's a very good mid-range shooter. He definitely picked and popped a lot. And that was really the intrigue of him being a post guy, pick and pop, pick and roll, you know, and his good body frame and things of that nature. And, you know, the tough thing about scouting on a team like that is you got to get 5 or 6 games of scouting, and when the team's that great, to see as much skill as it would have been. So I was only going to watch one game. I'm not going to do 6 games of scouting for this stuff for per player. We'd be doing this for a whole month or more than a month. Yeah, it's just really interesting. I definitely feel like Cat is definitely the best version of Carl Anthony Towns that could have happened. He is. Like, you would have never have guessed 40% three-point shooter in the NBA, 25% three-point percentage. You would have never have guessed the handle, the mid-range scoring, the pull-up mid-range shot creation that he's developed. He didn't really show that at Kentucky. It was mostly just post touches. So, you know, Cat's definitely grown a lot his games scoring-wise, and it's really impressive to watch. And, you know, I'm sure he would have shown more flashes of these things, again, in a 5 to 6 game sample size instead of one, like, especially how great his team was in Kentucky and less chances to just have the ball in his hand. So, really interesting guy. Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns has definitely made the best of his skill set. And, you know, it's also, I think it's important, I think it's really tough that guys like him, Jason Tatum, Anthony Davis, who are the guys that fit out of this mold, Pablo Banchero, Devin Booker, SGA, Tyrese Halliburton. I threw out a little wide ranging of names there, but there's a point to this. It's the smooth guys look less athletic than what they are, right? Like, you watch Cat in Kentucky and then you watch Cat in the NBA, you're like, he's definitely more athletic in the NBA, right? But he's a smooth athlete. It's the same thing for Anthony Davis. You watch Anthony Davis in Kentucky, he's nice, but he's a smooth athlete. It's kind of, wonder how athletic he is. You see him in the NBA, wow, he's athletic. You watch Paolo Banchero at Duke, a smooth shot creating guy. You watch him play, like, yeah, he's pretty decently. Watch him at Orlando, like, man, is he very athletic. Same thing with Jason Tatum, smooth, athletic. You know, he gets to the NBA, wow, he's so athletic. You know, it's the same thing with Devin Booker. It's the same thing with Luka Doncic, SGA, Tyrese Halliburton. You know, it's definitely a lesson that could be taken away from these smooth athletes. Is there a little more athletic than you really seem. And I feel like the only way you can really tell how athletic a guy is watching them defend, because usually they'll defend better than move athletically, defensively better than what they do offensively. Just because, you know, a lot of people like to be smooth and change paces and, you know, read players and things of that nature. And, you know, it makes them seem a little less athletic than what they are. And that's the point of what I'm trying to say. You know, somebody that comes into my mind immediately in this current draft class of somebody like that is Cody Williams. Cody Williams is extremely smooth at Colorado. And if you watch him play defensively, he looks more athletic than he does on the offensive end. So, you know, it's a good thought process to think. He'll probably be a little bit more athletic in the NBA like these other guys. Alrighty. Real interesting guy. Let's go ahead and kick to the next Kentucky guy. That you got so many bigs throughout the history there. We have Bam Adebayo next. 13 points per game, 8 rebounds, 0.8 assists, 59.9% field goal percentage, 0% 3-point percentage, 1.5 blocks. I mean, the first thing that jumps off to you is, oh my goodness, can his feet move? I mean, yeah, this is you know, a DPOY level guy in the NBA. So I wasn't surprised that he looked that insane defensively, but wow, could he move on the perimeter? Dear goodness, was it special? I mean, the footwork guarding the pick and roll, guarding guards, just oh my goodness. Bam Adebayo is the best feat I've seen guarding the perimeter ever. Just insane. It's just beautiful. And, you know, he shuts down pick and roll operators and guards all the time. I mean, he's like the only center in the NBA you get switched on. You're like, give me back the point guard. I can't cook him. Right, you know, it's tough. Bam is that guy defensively. He also had a really great strong body frame that, you know, definitely allowed him to put on more muscle. He's also the exception to the rule of 6'10 centers. Right, there's a few people to fit in different molds that are successful in the NBA, and, you know, being 6'10, guarding the perimeter like Bam does, having the body frame Bam does, allows a 6'10 center to be as able to defend the rim at the NBA, which is extremely important, fight for rebounds and things of that nature. That's why 6'9, 6'8 centers don't really exist unless they look like Ben Wallace. Okay. Alrighty, and you know, offensively, he was decently in the post, pretty good finishing at the rim. You know, he flashed some good passes. He didn't really flash as much handle as you would have expected, especially in Miami. He's really good bringing up the ball, the floor, and, you know, initiating offense and attacking the rim off the handle. So it would have been interesting to see if that would have been something he would have shown in a 6-to-5-game time frame where you would normally scout somebody full time, or, you know, if that's just something that developed with time. So it's a really interesting guy. And yeah, Bam Adebayo's perimeter feet are insane. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy, which is Joel Embiid. 11.2 points per game, 8.1 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 62.6 for field goal percentage, 20% 3-point percentage, and 2.6 blocks a game. I mean, dear goodness, was Joel Embiid a world-class mix of athletic gifts and power. I mean, he moved 22-year-olds like they were just playing Little League football, and he's like 19 or 20. It was insane. It's like battling for post position, shot blocking at the rim, you know, the recovery of like being at the mid range and then somebody's driving to the rim, and, you know, his athletic movement for the size was just insanity. You know, they had a guy named Perry Ellis, who's a really good post player, so they kind of got in the way from him getting like a high volume amount of touches at Kansas. And they also had Andrew Wiggins, which was probably a better college basketball player than he was as well. So number one pick in the NBA draft and all that type of stuff, even though he wasn't a better player than Embiid. But, you know, it was a little raw in the feel of basketball. There were some moments where it was less like, he could have done a better job in the post there. The footwork could have been better there. He could have drawn the fouls better there. You know, he's a great athlete at, you know, defending the rim, but he bit on the pump fake and now the other guy's getting two free throws. You know, there's definitely some very obvious rawness there that has gone away with time. You know, Joel Embiid has done a great job maximizing his The current Embiid is by far the best version of Joel Embiid that anybody could have imagined. It's a really great credit to his work ethic and upside, you know. So Embiid definitely has made the most out of himself, and so has Cat. And Cat's definitely maximized, definitely all. I mean, all these guys have maximized themselves, but you know, it's really impressive how good Embiid is, comparatively speaking, to a little bit of the rawness you saw at Kansas. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy. Also, and the lesson to take away from Joel Embiid is when you have an overwhelming strength and athletic gifts, you can get away with less skill and more rawness at the beginning of your career. All right, that's the takeaway from Embiid. Okay, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy. Anthony Davis at the power forward position, even though he played center in Kentucky, 14.2 points per game, 10.4 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 62.3% field goal percentage, 15.3 three-point percentage, 4.7 blocks, which is just utterly ridiculous. But if anybody remembers how good he was in college, it makes sense. He won a national championship with the Kentucky. I think it's the only one Cal has in Kentucky. You know, he's obviously a phenomenal rim defender. I mean, dude's playing volleyball out there. It's ridiculously insane. Very smooth, versatile guard 1-5. Very obvious what he could be in the NBA guarding 1-5, and just being a defensive menace to society. Really showed a lot of handle at Kentucky, which was really interesting. Taking bigs off the dribble, very smooth pull up mid-range shot, good feet in the post. This is definitely by far the best, the most easy skill set that makes sense in the NBA for what Anthony Davis has become offensively, which is just being a mid-range menace to society with the handle and size. Like, you definitely could have seen that coming when he was at Kentucky, and it's definitely by far why he was such an easy number one pick level talent. He's definitely made the most out of his gifts. He's the defender that we all thought he could be. He is the scorer that we all thought he could be. And he's made a great career for himself. And Anthony Davis had so many just elite things that it was pretty easy to see what the upside could be with AD. Alrighty, the next guy up is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Averaged 9.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 46% field goal percentage, 31% three-point percentage, and 1 block a game. Surprisingly, I found a full game of that. Very, very, very athletic. I mean, thin, yes, he was also very thin, but, you know, the athletic gifts of just being unreal, shot blocking at the rim, mobility for size, quickness, lateral gifts, speed, just unreal. You know, definitely saw some really good passes and some really intelligent plays where, you know, somebody's going to try to foul him to start a fast break, to stop a fast break. He makes the pass out of it. You know, some, you know, there's some, a few times where he was going to cut to the basket and get a lob, and he passed it to somebody who was a really good angle to give him the lob, but he didn't give them the lob, right? Like, he definitely saw flashes of intelligence, little things that he did that was really indicative to, like, Giannis is smart. You know what I mean? The current Giannis is really smart at, you know, driving to the rim and making passes and being a good defender. He's an NBA champion for a reason. He's really intelligent. He's about it, you know, so he definitely thinks the game, and you definitely could have saw flashes of that paired with, you know, he does have flashes of in transition doing crazy stuff at the rim and looking great. You know, he definitely saw enough passing flashes to understand that, you know, with the 6'11 length, great athletic gifts, handle, passing, that he could have been a guy that could be ridiculously elite breaking down defense and attacking the rim like he's become. 31% three-point percentage is very shocking because, you know, Giannis can't shoot threes very well, but, you know, he's focused on other things to become a great player. So, you know, he's focused on his strengths, not his weaknesses. And yeah, Giannis is amazing. All right, the next guy up the breakdown is Pablo Vinchero. He's averaging 17.2 points per game, 7.8 rebounds, 3.4 assists, and 40% field goal percentage, 33% three-point percentage. So, you know, he's got a great body frame, really strong, 6'10", smooth athlete. He definitely looks really good defending on ball. You know, he's so good attacking the rim, showed flashes of, like, shooting guard, small forward level scoring skill with a power forward size where he's pulling up mid-range shots, you know, having a few dribble left, dribble right, crossover right into a pull-up and into a shot where he's ranking on people's feet. And, you know, it's a great combination because he's obviously such a great rim attacker. Where you pair that scoring skill with the great rim attacking abilities, you got an extremely elite player that's, you know, was a great rookie rookie of the year level guy. I think it was last year. Last year was his draft class. Yeah, last year draft class. And now, right now, it's year two already in the all-star team and all-star game. It's really great. And Paolo Banchero is a really great player. He's going to be the face of the Orlando Magic for the next 10 years. And he's one heck of a player. And you can definitely see flashes of those things at Duke, where he did flash those things. You know, probably an above-average defender, a decent post player, a solid three-point shooter. Every once in a while, you see some flashes of three-point shot creation as well. And it shows some flashes of being able to make passes out of his ability to drive to the rim. It's very obvious number one pick level talent. When he was coming out of the draft, I think I had him 2 or 3 or 4 on the my big board. And I was obviously wrong about him. I should have had him number one over Jabari Smith Jr. But, you know, it was I thought he was less athletic than he was, honestly, than because his smoothness deceived me. Yeah, if I'm being honest. But, you know, you learn from your mistakes. So, Paolo Banchero. Let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy, which is Julius Randle from Kentucky. Let's see here. In college, he averaged 15 points per game, 10.4 rebounds, 14 assists, 50% field goal percentage, 16% three-point percentage, 0.8 blocks a game. Very, very elite body frame. I mean, the dude was built like a running back, a 6'9". The dude's really strong, easy at creating space just from his body frame. Average and maybe above average NBA athlete, average defender. He goes very, very elite at finishing at the rim, showed some flashes of handle and some shot creation, which is really intriguing. You know, he has some flashes of passing the ball pretty well as well. You know, he's obviously really maximized that idea set for him to being a shot creating power forward that really plays well off of his extremely strong body frame and finishing at the rim so well as he does. And he's been an extremely good player from the New York Knicks. He's had one heck of a run, and he's definitely made the most of his gifts. Definitely maximized his skill set, honestly. All right, so the next person to break down is LeBron James. So we'll find some high school tape of him. Averaging 25.2 points per game, 7.2 rebounds, 5.8 assists, 3.8 steals. I mean, surprise, LeBron was a crazy, insane athlete. I mean, just utterly ridiculous. Driving to the rim, being defensively vertically gifted, speed, quickness, power, just ridiculous. Off the charts, elite, checking off every one of those boxes at every one of those things. So yeah, LeBron was insane athletically. Not a surprise. You know, his fast break obviously put on highlights whenever he was in the fast break. Very good handle, very good rim attacker. You know, most of his scoring skills in the mid-range. You know, you'd see him do some fadeaway.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You see him do some post up. You see him, you know, catch the ball at the free throw line and, you know, start ISOing and reading somebody's feet and attacking them. That was his main scoring area. You know, but he's definitely grown into one of the greatest players of all time. You know, when you have one of one athletes with really interesting skill, passing skill like this, it's so easy to see just an extremely elite point forward like he's been, and just such a complete basketball player. Really interesting. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy. Next man up is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant averaged 25 points per game, 11 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 47% field goal percentage, 40% three-point percentage. He is just absolutely ridiculous at Texas. I mean, just the skill for the height. Like, if you put a 6'3", 25-point-per-game score in the NBA and all the footwork and skill, and you imagine a guy with not much athletic gifts and not much, like, superly gifted strength-wise, it just does it all through skill, just being top tier. And then you just close your eyes and put that in a 6'10", 6'11" body. That's what's watching Kevin Durant in college was like. Utterly ridiculous. The pull-up shots, the three-point shots, the footwork, the shot creation, the fadeaways, the quality of the contested shots, the, you know, the how tough the shots were finishing at the rim. He's posting up people perfect. It's by far, you know, some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen. I mean, it's totally makes sense why, you know, arguably he's the greatest offensive scorer ever. It definitely makes a lot of sense because you watch him play in college and he just looks like absolutely ridiculous. Doesn't really, looks like a 2K player out there. Okay passer, obviously thin frame, you know, decent defender because he could get pushed around with a smaller frame. But, you know, KD is, I would have been really interesting because I did, you know, I grew up, you know, as a Ohio State fan. So I watched Greg Oden play in college growing up. And the, what I remember of him doesn't, I don't think I would have had him higher than KD, but it's really interesting. I was watching full games of scouting back then, but I definitely would say KD was ridiculous, highly elite scoring skill. If you see somebody like that, it's just a very easy scout where the skill level is just insane for the height and athleticism, things of that nature. It's just doesn't make sense. It's kind of what it was like scouting Wimby. All right, so the next man up at the breakdown is Paul George. At Fresno State, he averaged 16.5 points per game, 7.2 rebounds, 3 assists, 42% field goal percentage, 35% three-point percentage. Sadly, I was only able to catch highlights of Paul George in college, but in the highlights that I did see, he was a very good rim attacker, very good athletic gifts, showed some good pull-up three-point shots and pull-up mid-range shots. You know, so you could see some flashes of what he could have been. I would have liked to see more a full game of him at Fresno State to hopefully see more scoring skill that he obviously has in the NBA because he's a great off the dribble shot creator. So, you know, and this is a guy though that's just when you're that athletic and that, you know, 6'8" long and have flashes of those shot creation abilities, it's really great to, it's really a high upside guy, high upside draft pick that definitely hit on the upside. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy, his teammate Kawhi Leonard, which I was able to survive full games of. San Diego State was really good when he was there, so 15.5 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 44% field goal percentage, 29.1% three-point percentage. I mean, very good mix of long wingspan, which astronomically ridiculous hands. I mean, you could definitely see him palming the ball a lot. He has a very good mid-range score with really nice fadeaways. You definitely see, you know, you definitely see a lot of flashes of his scoring ability at San Diego State. And you definitely, one of the things that I definitely feel like Kawhi Leonard and Jaime Jaquez will teach you about what NBA, what scoring at the wing position, small forward and power forward skill does and does not translate is the amount of dribbles. Like Kawhi does it 1-2 dribbles, shots going up and it's gonna be a good shot, right? Like it's definitely, you don't want the small forwards to take too many dribbles to take you out of your offensive flow. You know, they don't get to take as many dribbles as a guard does operating the pick and roll and, you know, trying to, you know, break down players, stuff like that. And if you're going to be a wing scorer, you got to be able to do it in less dribbles and use your height to get the shots off because it's just not within the flow of the offense for you to take as much dribbles. And I definitely feel like Jaime Jaquez and Kawhi Leonard fit in that kind of mold of scoring skill that doesn't take too many dribbles to get a shot off. You know, below average passer at San Diego State. I mean, Kawhi, even in the NBA, is a below average passer, so I'm not surprised by that. Utterly ridiculous defender, great strong body frame that allows him to create space really well offensively and just shut people down defensively. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, the defender, of course he looked good in college defensively. Yeah, what a shocker. Kawhi Leonard looked good in college defensively. Yeah, he was a really great defender on ball, mobility, fluidity, and it's just really great with the wingspan and the strength. He shut people down, and Kawhi Leonard's definitely made the most of his scoring skill flashes and the defensive flashes that you definitely saw. All right, the next man up to break down is Jason Tatum from Duke. 16.8 points per game, 7.3 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 45% field goal percentage, and 35% three-point percentage. So, you know, Jason Tatum had such unique skill set. I mean, their goodness, man. Such a smooth athlete with a great body frame. You know, very advanced scoring skills with really good hesitations and counter moves. He was just very, very elite at, you know, breaking down somebody's feet and playing off and attacking their feet and the scoring skill and the footwork of it, which is unbelievable. Jason Tatum's scoring skill for that size, the 6'8 length with a string, really smooth guy with a really good body frame, definitely makes sense why he's such an elite small forward at the NBA. He's definitely like the ideal small forward prospect. Like, if you think about a scoring small forward in the NBA, that's just like super easy to scout and makes 100% sense why he's successful. A guy like Jason Tatum comes in your mind. It's just three-point shot creation, three-point, you know, mid-range shot creation, you know, attacking the rim, being elite in three, all three of those areas, being a good on-ball defender, having a great frame and enough athletic gifts to do in the NBA. It just all makes sense why Jason Tatum is what he is, and he looked like what he is at Duke. Very easy scout. Next guy up, Scotty Barnes. So he averaged 10.3 points per game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists a game, 50% field goal percentage, 27.5. Three-point percentage, really a unique pick-and-roll operator at Florida State. He ran a lot of pick-and-rolls. Basically, it was like their sixth-man extraordinaire that would come off the bench and, you know, be their main ball handler. Great size and athletic gifts, great, which, you know, equated a really great rim attacking. You definitely had to really visualize him with an NBA floor and all the spacing to understand why he was going to be so special in the NBA. And he's one of those first guys that I did miss on. I think I had him like 6 or 7 on my big board coming out, and he obviously should have been a 4 or 3. He was the 4th pick in the draft, and the Toronto Raptors did a really good job with him. He's obviously was a special defender coming out of college. He was just extremely elite, one of the best I've ever seen. Really great wingspan, obvious point forward. You know, it's just really important to always remember when you're doing NBA scouting, visualizing them with NBA spacing, and then it makes sense why Scotty Barnes is what he is right now. The next guy up to scout is Devin Booker. So Devin Booker averaged 10 points per game in Kentucky, 2.2 rebounds a game, 1.1 assists, 47% field goal percentage, 41% three-point percentage. You know, he was also part of that Karl Anthony Towns team that went 38 or 39-0 in college. That was just extremely deep, and he came out of the bench and was like their sixth man. You know, he's a very good off-ball mover, average defender. You know, he obviously had a really good body frame, and he's flashed some mid-range pull-up shots, but, you know, He would have been a guy that would definitely need to take in 5 to 6 games to see more shot creation for him, because he just don't see much shot creation from him. He was definitely playing a role of off-ball movement and three-point shooting for a team that just had so much overwhelming college-level talent and some NBA talent, especially Kat and Willie Cauley-Stein, where, you know, those guys just took up so much shots, and he just didn't really get to have a ton of opportunities to show the scoring skill that he obviously has now. I mean, this guy's a very elite scorer, and you just didn't see much of it. You didn't see in the game I watched, I didn't see him take somebody off the dribble at all. So it's surprising. I'm sure I would have saw more of it after 5 to 6 games of full scouting that I usually do. But, you know, it's tough when somebody's in a really unique situation like that, as Devin Booker. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy. The next man up is Anthony Edwards. Averaged 9.1 points per game, 5.2 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 40% field goal percentage, 29.4% three-point percentage. A very, very smooth athlete that attacks the rim really well, had a great body frame. You know, he obviously has great vertical athletic gifts. He's so smooth that he does look less athletic than what he really was. That's definitely another one of those guys that he didn't look as athletic as he really is. He's a better passer than you expect, especially when he pick and roll, making passes to guys, finding passing lanes for his teammates. It was really interesting to see. He's a very good mid-range shot creator, definitely pull up mid-range shots, shot creation off the dribbles, being shifty, getting to the rim. You know, just had a lot of really good flashes of shot creation off the dribble. That's obviously translated to the NBA. That's allowed him to be a very elite scorer and somebody that's going to be the leader for the shooting guard position. Might be the best shooting guard position in the NBA, shooting guard in the NBA 5 years from now. So, you know, Anthony Edwards is the real deal, really special, and, you know, is very elite college talent. All right, so the next man to break down is Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was averaging 14.6 points per game. Cal, 5.4 rebounds, 2 assists, 43% field goal percentage, 29% 3%. So only found able to find highlights of him, but you know, the highlights that I had to see looked like a great athlete who can finish at the rim very elitely. Some flashes of some mid-range shot creation. Obviously, when you watch highlights, you don't get to watch him defend, so I have no clue what he looked like defensively, but I'm sure he looked good with all his athletic gifts. You know, he's definitely a really great example of that great athlete that shows shot creation that can be have really high upsides, and Jaylen Brown's definitely met that upside. He's a very good player, an all-star level guy, and Jaylen Brown's definitely a very good basketball player, and he definitely showed flashes of those things. Cal. Next man up is Donovan Mitchell. 15.6 points per game, 4.9 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 40% field goal percentage, 35% three-point percentage. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, you know, he's definitely one of those rare guys where 6'3 shooting guards are in their own unique grouping and class as, you know, shooting guards. He's a very good rim attacker, guys. Great body, good frame, really strong, really long wingspan, very good athletic gifts. He's very good at finishing through contact and having a great layup package. He definitely showed some seriously good flashes of shot creation from each level, and you know, some deep three-point shot creation as well, and good on ball defender. So it makes a lot of sense that Donovan Mitchell, you watch him at Louisville, you definitely see a lot of the skill, the athletic gifts that has translated so well into the NBA for the 6'3 shooting guard, Donovan Mitchell. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy, which is going to be De'Aaron Fox. He averaged 16.7 points per game, 4 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 47% field goal percentage, 24.6% three-point percentage. You know, Kentucky is a very good passer, extremely fast and quick, you know, really good finisher at the rim, had some flashes of some floater and some pull-up mid-range shots. Average defender, smaller frame, but this is a great, you know, him and Tyrese Maxey really fit the same kind of prototype, is spacing. NBA is about spacing, right? It's the spacing at the college level and the NBA level are completely different universes. A lot of teams have two players on the post, things of that nature. It's really clogged up in the lane, but in the NBA, it's wide open. It's about point guards that can get downhill, have speed and quickness gifts that can break down the defense and, you know, allow them to kick off the shooters because they have to help so hard. It makes it easy to make passes to the perimeter and get the easy 3-point shots. You know, De'Aaron Fox definitely had those things, but he had the weaknesses. I mean, 24% 3% is really low. He didn't have like a ton of shot creation skill. He wasn't, you know, this otherworldly mid-range shot creator, but he checked off some core boxes that lead to really high upside point guards in the NBA, which is the speed and quickness gifts and the finishing gifts that he has that you can't teach, and you know, fits so well the NBA point guard position. Next man up is Tyrese Maxey, 14 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 42% field goal percentage, 29% three-point percentage. You know, a very good, quick athlete who gets the rim extremely well. But he played he also has a floater. He played out of position, though. He played two guard from Kentucky. They had another guy there. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. It was like 6'4", 6'5", point guard. You know, so he got played two guard position. And it was definitely projected. And the reason why he was a 21st pick is you just didn't see, you know, a ton of him at point guard film. He's 6'3". But, you know, in the NBA, again, spacing, and more spacing is what it's about. When you have these athletic gifts and you have a good body frame and you get downhill, it makes it really, really tough to stop with these athletic guys that fit these prototypes. And Tyrese Maxey, De'Aaron Fox, even Donovan Mitchell, these three guys in a row, all fit similar things where they're 6'3", 6'2", but they're just extremely quick, fast, and you know, athletic that allows them to really put pressure at the rim in elite ways that you just can't teach those things. All right, next man up to break down is Luka Doncic, averaged 12.8 points per game for Real Madrid, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 46% field goal percentage, 28% 3-point percentage. So, I mean, this guy looked ridiculous at Real Madrid. I mean, the 3-point shot creation that he was doing was just absolutely insanely high level quality stuff that was just absolutely ridiculous. Elite pick and roll operator, really good passes, really good instincts for, you know, getting to the free throw line and, you know, catching for people in bad situations. Obviously, he's a poor defender. He got attacked in Real Madrid. He gets attacked in the NBA. You know, he has those flaws, but his overall just utterly insanely elite skill set for a below average NBA athlete is really what makes him so special. And, you know, he's another one of those guys that are so highly skilled that they can overcome the lack of athleticism. All right, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy, which is going to be SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Average 14.1 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, 5.1 assists, 48% field goal percentage, 40% three-point percentage. This guy looks so smooth at Kentucky, really good rim attacker, has some nice floaters, mid-range pull-up shots, and every once in a while, pull-up three-point shots. Good passer, average defender. He had a very slim body frame and smooth average athlete, which makes him look less of a good athlete than he was at Kentucky. Again, he is a smooth mover. You watch him play defensively, you get to see him be a little bit more explosive, you know what I mean? And, you know, he definitely had some interesting skill set. I'm sure if we would have watched five to six full games of him, we would have saw more flashes of the skill set that he has. But, you know, he did really look really good offensively skilled-wise at Kentucky, and you could definitely see what he could become in OKC and what he is now, and an all-star level guy. Definitely makes sense. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy, which is Steph Curry. 28.6 points per game at Davidson, 4.5 rebounds, 5.6 assist, 48% field goal percentage, 45% three-point percentage. I mean, shocker, Steph was really great moving off the ball. I mean, who could have guessed that? Shocker, Steph was a great deep three-point shot creator. You know, shocker, he had good floaters and finishes at the rim and, you know, showed enough passing gifts to be a NBA-level point guard. Obviously, a below-average defender because, you know, lack of athletic gifts. You know, he's 6'3", but, you know, his shot creation from the three-point line and, you know, the greatest three-point shooter of all time. You definitely could have said that if you would have turned on the tape, and I would have told you, this guy's going to be the greatest three-point shooter of all time. You watch him at Davidson, yeah, okay, and that kind of makes sense because the skill for this skill set that he had was just utterly ridiculous. All right, so the next guy to break up, next guy up to break down is Tyrese Haliburton. 15.2 points per game, 5.9 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 50% field goal percentage, 40% three-point percentage. Sadly, I was only able to find highlights, but I would say it wasn't as good as a basketball team back then as they are, now. You know, he definitely slashed enough, a lot of deep three-point shot creation. You know, could score very well, you know, at every level to flash mid-range shot creation, you know, the ability to drive to the rim and finish at the rim. It looks like he flashed enough passing prowess to definitely be a point guard, good point guard level passer. Slimmer body frame, but being being 6'5" and then the above average NBA athlete makes sense why he's been able to be so successful. And you definitely see enough scoring skill to definitely warrant what he's been now, because he definitely can score really well from the 3-point line and make really great passes. And he's definitely reached his potential. Next guy up is Damian Lillard, 24.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 46% field goal percentage, 40% three-point percentage. Again, only got to see highlights of Dame, you know, but it looks like he had a really good body frame, attacks the rim really well, good pick and roll operator with some nice floaters, pull up mid-range shots, and some flashes of deep three-point shot creation. What a shocker, Dame showed flashes of deep three-point shot creation and, you know, attacking the rim so well. Those were only highlights. Again, it would have been really interesting to watch full games of him, but I wasn't able to see it. But you definitely saw, again, the shot creation skill that you could have seen coming out. All right, the next guy to break down is Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's average 18.9 points per game, 3.1 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 52% field goal percentage, and 40% three-point percentage. So, you know, Jalen Brunson's really interesting scout. Very strong guy, rocked up, 6 foot, 6 foot one, you know, a average athlete, finishes really well at the rim, finishes with his really strong body frame, extremely contested three-point shots. He has a really elite mid-range post game, below average defender, good passer, good pick and roll operator. Definitely, I feel like what he did in the NBA was extend his, because he was really great in college and the post and the mid-range, but most people didn't think that skill set would translate into the NBA because it's just not really, you don't see a 6 foot point guard posting anybody, but he was really had great, really tough shots out of those posting situations. And, you know, it's kind of like he took those really tough shots that he was really great at the post and, you know, the mid-range, and kind of extended them out to the three-point line and deeper into the mid-range. And, you know, he is such a phenomenal tough shot maker and taker with a really great passer in the NBA right now. So it's kind of like he extended his game. You know, he's kind of like, I already have these skill sets and a good feel for making these shots. So I just got to extend it to make it off the dribble and make it farther out so it fits in the NBA game. And that's kind of what he did. That's definitely the best way I could describe it. Really interesting growth. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the last guy to break down, which is Trae Young. 27.4 points per game, 3.9 rebounds, 8.7 assists, 42% field goal percentage, 36% three-point percentage. I mean, this guy was a great passer, pick and roll, lob threats, passing the three-point shooters, passing the open guys, you know, full court passes. Just Trae Young has great passing gifts, you know, very good mid-range and three-point shot creator, deep three-point shot creation, and, you know, good finisher at the rim. 27 points per game was just absolutely ridiculous. You know, he has such a good shot creator, and, you know, definitely showed what he would end up being at Atlanta. It makes so much sense what he is now. He definitely showed everything at Oklahoma skill-wise. Alrighty, let's go ahead, and that's basically the end of these All-Star full game breakdowns. It was a really fun, you know, thing to do. Next week, we're going to do who am I higher and lower on than others. It's really going to be breaking down things like that. It's going to be really fun. It's definitely going to be a good podcast. So I thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate everybody else listening. Hopefully you guys all had a good week. A little plug for myself. March Madness is over. I did finish in the 98th percentile in ESPN brackets for March Madness on the exact bracket that I did make for the March Madness special. So next year, March Madness comes around, definitely going to want to listen to that. We'll help make your brackets better. But yeah, thanks for guys for listening. Everybody have a great week and peace out.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.